Today, the 97th chapter, Perek Tzadik Zayin. Adonai Malach, Tagel Haaretz, Yismechu Igim Rabim. So, we saw in the previous chapter that Moshe or David, whoever composed it, is discussing the future, the time in which everyone will recognize Hashem Malach. Imru Vagoyim Hashem Malach. So now, in chapter Tzadik Zayin, the Tehillim continues that there will come a time when Hashem Malach, and that's a reference to a time when Amalek is not in power, we can recognize that Hashem is running the show. That is the time we discuss in Malchuyot of Rosh Hashanah. We discuss when Hashem will take the throne. On that day, Hashem will take the throne, and it will be recognized that Hashem is running the world. And why don't we recognize it today? Because it seems like those who do evil are successful. So now it's talking about the future, even though it's talking in the past tense, Hashem Malach. But nonetheless, it's a reference to the future. So Hashem Malach Tagel Haaretz, all of the earth will rejoice. So Amalek will be destroyed. So the world will rejoice, yismichu iim rabim, and many islands will be happy. Okay. So there's a very interesting Radak over here. The Radak says, "Hirba beila mizmorim bezeh ha'inyan," that he spent some time in these chapters speaking about this time when everything will be good. Lechazek libot bnei Adam hanoashim min hageula bagalut, to strengthen the hearts of people who have given up hope of redemption in this long exile. So iyim could mean islands. Iyim could also mean the boundaries of nations. So many nations will rejoice when Hashem takes the throne, and the chapters are expanding about a time that's way off in the future to give people strength to live up to the trials and tribulations of every day. Anan va'arafel sevivav tzedek u'mishpat mechon kiso. So surrounding Hashem is what? Anan, arafel, clouds, a mist, a fog, and the foundation of his throne is righteousness, is justice. So Hashem will ultimately pay everyone back. We say that surrounding God's throne is all these different forms of darkness, clouds, fog, that God has the potential to give this darkness upon the wicked to pay them back for what they've done. So that's how the verse goes together. Anan va'arafel, the clouds, the darkening, the fog, is surrounding God. God has it to darken life on the wicked. And then, tzedek u'mishpat, that righteousness, the justice, will ultimately be the foundation of God's throne, God's taking kingship, recognized kingship on earth. Esh lefanav telech utlahet saviv tzarav. In the war against Gog and Magog, the nations that surround to attack Israel, these great kingdoms of Gog and Magog, that ultimate war that's still yet to come, then God will have fire before him, and it'll burn surrounding his enemies. He iru v'rakav tevehel rata v'tachel haaretz. God's lightning, the light that God shines out, will give light throughout earth, and the earth, when it sees this awesome sight of God coming down to fight these nations, the earth itself will, so to speak, tremble in fear. The earth will be scared. Harim kadonag namasu milifnei Adonai, milifnei Adon kol haaretz. The mountains will melt like wax before God, before the master of all of the earth. Higidu Hashamayim Tzidko V'ra'u Chol Ha'amim Kivodo. The heavens will recount God's righteousness, and all the nations will see His honor. Yevoshu Kol Ovedei Fesil Hamitalelim Ba'elilim Hishtachavulo Kol Elohim. All those who were pagans, they used to serve idols, they, so to speak, will dry up, they will wither. Those who took pride in their different idols, and together, all the different forces, all the different potent ones, either Kol Elohim over here is a reference to all those that serve idols, or it's a reference to, those that serve idols will all bow to Hashem. Ishtachavu lo, all the nations who serve idols. Another understanding is that it's the stars. Kol Elohim is a reference to the things that were made into idols. People bow to the sun, people bow to the moon, to the different stars, and all the stars will bow before Hashem. So that's the reference of Kol Elohim. Shamea vatismach Tzion vatagelna benot Yehuda leman mishpatecha Adonai. So the gathering of Zion, Tzion, is either a reference to the place Tzion, or it's a reference to the Jewish people that have gathered at Zion. When they hear all this, they will be happy. The daughters of Judah, which either means the people of the Yehuda, or it means Benot could also mean the city states, the little cities that surround Yehuda, they will all be happy for the sake of your justice, Hashem. Ki ata Adonai Elyon al kol haaretz meod na'aleita al kol Elohim. For you, Hashem, are really so above all those that dwell earth, and you're so above all the different idols that they worship. So there's what to discuss here. There's a problem, really. The simple understanding of the psukim, the way we read them, it seems like the praise is minimized. Hashem, you're so much greater than the idols, right? Hashem's so much greater than everything else too. So that's why there's an understanding here that it's a reference to the stars. And this brings us to a big machloket geonim. There's a discussion, are there really other forces in the world? Is all of idol worship nonsense? Or did some of these idols really possess certain forces? Did God give them some potency?
Can it be that different people named the forces idols?
Could be, right.
The forces that we're talking about.
Right. But the question is, was there anything to it? Meaning, was there any advantage for serving an idol? Did the idol really possess any powers, or it was all nonsense? And there are diametrically opposed opinions. Some say Elil comes from the word Al, that the idol has nothing to it, there's no truth to it. And others say no, Elil comes from the word El, it has power. So you have the same word, and you have different opinions among the Rishonim and the Gaonim.
Then you ask the question, what does Elal mean?
Elal is a pasuk. It's a word that appears in Tanakh. I won't ask. We'll just look it up. So these psukim are, in my opinion, more easily understood if we're either going with the opinion that says that these idols did have some power. So then, okay, there are different forces that God created in the world, and God is so much greater than all those forces. Or if we say that Elohim over here means powers or stars. But if we say the way we were translating until now, that it's simply a reference to idols, and we know the idols have no power, so then to say, God, you're so much greater than their idols, well, right, their idols have no power. So you could say then all the powers they've attributed to their idols. But all this, okay, that already it doesn't say. Pasuk Yud. Ohavei Adonai Sinura Shomer Nafshot Chasidav Miyad Reshaim Yatzilein. Those who love Hashem, you hate those that do evil, and don't be scared of them, because Hashem is watching His Chasidim. He's going to save them from the hands. Shomer Nafshot Chasidav. Hashem saves His Chasidim. Oh, so that's in a second. We'll discuss that. Hashem will save them from the hand of the wicked. And the question is, what are we talking about Him? What are we talking about in this pasuk? Hashem, those that love Hashem hate the evildoers, and therefore they should take on the wicked doers. But we have other psukim that say, "Ve'vala rasha tzadik mimenu." The rasha does consume one who is just more righteous than him. So Chazal say there are different understandings in Chazal, but one understanding, and we saw this in the Ein Yaakov and Brachos, the Talmud in Brachos in the first chapter discusses this. We learned it in the Ein Yaakov class that. Do we ever say the righteous should take on the wicked? Or do we say, if the wicked are successful, then maintain your distance? Which is what many psukim in Mishlei seem to indicate. Even though the end of chapter 29 and the end of chapter 28, we saw how whenever the wicked take control, the righteous take hiding. They hide. So over here, according to this understanding, those that love Hashem hate evil, and take them on, and God will watch His righteous. We have to say, if we're going to go with that understanding, that this is either that the evil are not having a time that's tremendously successful, it's a time that you could take them on. But the Gemara says, there's a difference between sha'am misacheket lo. If right now we see that things seem to be going in his favor, so keep a distance. If we see it's a time you could take him down, so then you could try to take him down. Or, another understanding in the Gemara is that there's a difference between tzaddik gamur or tzaddik sheino gamur. That's what you asked, only the chassidim. And the Gemara says there's a difference between someone who has sins that he's scared of. He has something in his back pocket, he's worried about his rights. So even though he sees the evildoers, he's not righteous enough himself to take them on. Or someone who's righteous enough that he has nothing to fear. He knows that God will stand by his side. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Oh, Zaru ala tzaddik ul yishrei lev simcha. There is a light that is planted for the righteous, and it just has to blossom. And happiness is planted for those that have a straight heart. Yeah, what were you saying?
If this is the same light that there's the idea that Hashem hid the light for the tzaddikim.
I think so. Okay. I don't know. Okay. It's interesting, the concept. On the one hand, we were talking about a future time, a time when God is recognized and people could take on the wicked and everyone will recognize Hashem is running the world. This pasuk, what is the pasuk telling me? Is the pasuk speaking about that future time? It would seem not, unless the idea is that that light which has been planted for the righteous will blossom at that time. Maybe that's pshat. There's another understanding here that says that a light is planted in the tzaddik, and within the tzaddik, Hashem places this light that if you only water it and you watch it, so then it will flourish. So if a person knows that inside him God planted a light, and it's a question of what he does with that light, if he takes proper care of it, if he watches his nefesh and he works to grow spiritually, then that light will grow. It's a question of what a person is going to do with it. Like the pasuk says, "Ve'ol tzadikim ke'ol noga," the light of the tzadikim is like the greatest lights of the sun. If a person just grows the light that within him, ultimately he could attain prophecy. It's a question of how much he works with growing the light that's within him. And then ulishrei lev simcha, those that have a straight heart, they have happiness because they see the light that's within them, they see that potential, they see their growth, and then otza bikim yismach, the light of the righteous is happy. Part of the happiness of a person is when he recognizes or he feels he's recognizing his potential. And that potential isn't a material potential, it's a spiritual potential. When a person feels like he's not realizing his potential, then whatever he's going to do, he's going to amass a million, he'll want two, he'll amass two, he'll want three. Chazal say, "En adam met v'chatzi tavato biyado." No one can say when he's lying on his deathbed, "I've accomplished half of what I want to accomplish in the material world." As much as a person wanted, he always wants to accomplish more. If he married one woman, he wants two. If he married 1,000, he wants 2,000. Whatever a person has done, a person always has desire for more. As we will see, Bezrat Hashem, where we're holding in Mishlei Perek Lamed, we're going to see that Anefesh lo tisba, Anefesh lo timale. Shlomo Amalek is about to begin discussing, where we're holding in Mishlei, about how a person always wants more. There's always capacity for more. Why does Yishrei Lev have simcha? Why are those that have a straight and honest heart, why are they happy? Because they see that light flourishing from within. So this is the Erech, the Malbim's understanding of this pasuk. Simchu tzadikim badonai vehodu lezecher kodsho. The righteous should be happy with Hashem. And here, one understanding is with Hashem simply. Another understanding is the tzaddikim should be happy with the teachings of Hashem and give thanks to the recounting of Hashem's holy name. Zecho Kodsho could mean also Shem Kodsho. Another understanding is the righteous should just be happy that Hashem is standing by their side. We said Hashem is standing, Shomer Nafshot Chasidav, Hashem is standing by their side, and they should give thanks to the mention of Hashem's name. They give thanks just like we mention Hashem's name, and we say Baruch Hu V'Ruch Shemo. Hodu L'Zecho Kodsho. Whenever there's a mention of Hashem's holy name, we give thanks.